Let's take a quick survey to see if you actually do wrestle with worry. Take a look at the screens. A little quick 10-question survey just to see where you're at in this whole thing. First of all, do you consider yourself to be a worrier? Not at all. Yes, but not that often. Sometimes. Yes, often. Or I'm a major worrier. Number two, are or were one or both of your parents worriers? Not at all. All the way down to, oh yeah, major worriers. Number three, do you worry to avoid bad things from happening? Yes, absolutely. All the time. All the way down to no, never. How about this one? Do you have a hard time controlling your worry? Yeah, I can't control it at all. Or no, not at all. How about number five? Do you worry about what other people think of you? No, not at all. Sometimes. Always. How about this one? Does uncertainty make you uncomfortable, nervous, worried, not knowing the future? Where are you at on that? How about this one? Do you worry about health and medical matters? Not at all, or all the time? Or this one? How often do you imagine the worst? Are you a catastrophizer? If something happens, is it going to be, it's just going to blow up? Never or always? Or about this one? How often do you worry about your well-being, your safety, about financial matters, or about relationships? Always? Often? Sometimes? Rarely? Never? Or how about this one here? Do you worry about loved ones and their health and safety? If your kids ask for the car and they travel, are you worried about that? Some of us deal with worry. And I actually stumbled on something that is really one of the best solutions for dealing with worry. So I'm going to show it to you. And Lee, let me know if this works for you. Okay? So, do you have a problem in life? No? Then why worry? Do you have a problem in life? Yes. Can you do something about it? No? Then why worry? Do you have a problem in life? Yes. Can you do something about it? No? Then why worry? There you go. This is how you deal with life. Why worry? How does that work for you? Is that good? Probably a little bit simplistic, right? Well, without probing, I'm pretty certain some of you are worried about one thing or a variety of things in your life right now. Some of you, you're probably worried about your job. You're wondering if your business or the company that you work for will be letting go of some people. And you're quietly worried you might be one of them. Or you're wondering and worried about whether or not your business is even going to make it in these tough economic times. Or that if the company that you work for will be extinct in a year. Or you're worried that if you are let go, you're worried you'll never find another job. Others of you are worried about your marriage. You've been wrestling with a tough issue for the last months, and in some cases, it's actually been years, and you're barely hanging on. You're wondering if you're going to make it because you feel like you're almost out of answers, and you're worried about your future. Others of you are worried about one of your children. Their struggles are escalating. They're heading in a direction that is causing you many sleepless nights. You are at wit's end, and you're worried. Still, others of you are worried about your health. You recently received test results that weren't what you're hoping for. The blood work, the CT scan, the colonoscopy, the mammogram, the sonogram, you're worried. Others of you are worried about your financial picture. You're worried about your finances. You've been undisciplined with your credit cards, and now the chickens have come home to roost. Or you've made a few questionable investments that will now impact your financial future, and you find yourself worried. One recent survey reported that what is worrying people the most is aging. And all the challenges associated with that, but two of the top five had to do with finances. One worry revolved around accumulating too large of a debt, and the other concerned retirement. Will we have enough when it is time to retire? I mean, if you ran out and bought a Lotto 649 or a Lotto Max ticket this last week and thought about winning, what came to your mind? I don't have to worry anymore, right? That winning a jackpot would alleviate all of your anxieties. We've been working our way through one of the most powerful talks ever given in the history of humankind, Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. And today we come to a place where Jesus talks to us about worry. Take a look at it with me. It's in the first book of the New Testament, the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 6. And we're going to be looking at verses 25 through 34 today. And I'll be reading it out of the New Living Translation. But grab your Bibles, your phones, and open up to that passage of Scripture. I'd also like to invite you to take your worship folder to hand. On the back, there's an opportunity for you to take notes. And on the inside of that, or on the back of that, there's a Think on It section where you can explore this Bible passage a little bit more deeply this week. So follow along as I read from Matthew chapter 6 out of the New Living Translation, God's word to us today. Jesus said, "That is why I tell you, not to worry about everyday life. Whether you have enough food and drink or enough clothes to wear. Isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing? Look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't you far more valuable to Him than they are? Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? And why worry about your clothing? Look at the lilies of the field and how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing. Yet Solomon, the richest king in Hebrew history, in all his glory, was not dressed as beautifully as they are. And if God cares so wonderfully for wildflowers that are here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow, He will certainly care for you. Why do you have so little faith? So don't worry about these things, saying, what will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers, but your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and He will give you everything you need. So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today. Let's take a bit of a closer look at Jesus' words here, beginning with Jesus' charge to us to not worry. Let me read it again, verse 25. That is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life. The point that Jesus is making to his listeners then and to us today when it comes to worry is simply this. Don't do it. Don't worry. And I know that some of you are sitting there thinking, well, George, that's a lot easier said than done, isn't it? In fact, those of you who are expert worriers or who come from a family of seasoned worriers, you're thinking, not worrying is impossible for me. Telling me not to worry is like telling me not to breathe. I can't help but worry. It's natural for me. It's normal. I can't even seem to help it anymore. Well, knowing that this is where some of you are at, how we simply begin to worry when situations arise in life, Jesus speaks these words to us. Don't worry about your everyday life. See, the reality is between something that happens in life and beginning to worry about it exists a choice, a decision. We have a choice as to whether or not we will worry. We decide whether or not to carry our worries with us. A woman came home one day and found all five of her children huddled around something which obviously interested them a great deal. As she got closer, to her horror, she saw that her children were playing with five baby skunks. Aghast, she let out a shriek and yelled, "Run!" And they all did. Each one grabbed a skunk and ran. And that's exactly what we do with our worry, isn't it? No matter how much it harms us or consumes us, no matter how much we know it's in our best interest to not do it, we grab it and we take it with us. And Jesus looks at us and he simply says, don't do it. Don't worry. And then he gives us three reasons why. First of all, he tells us that worry accomplishes nothing. Look at the way he says it in verse 27. Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? And the answer, of course, is no, it can't. Worrying does not give you life. It does not add time to your life. Jesus is essentially saying, why then would you spend your time, your life, worrying about something when it accomplishes nothing? Worry achieves nothing. It changes nothing. It makes no difference to what's going on. In fact, if it impacts you in any way, it only acts to increase your stress level. The only thing that worry actually accomplishes is that it makes things worse. And we need to remind ourselves that while worry may seem insignificant, it's not. It can really do a number on you. And persistent worry will take its toll on you. For some people, it actually paralyzes their life. And that happens in that what they're worrying about is magnified into something larger than it really is. There's a great Swedish proverb that says, worry often gives a small thing a big shadow. Whatever it is we're worrying about grows bigger and weightier and becomes more powerful than it really is to the point of becoming emotionally crippling. There are some people who are crippled by their worry. Michel de Montaigne said this, my life has been full of terrible misfortunes, the most of which never happened. For some of you, this is like your life verse. Right? Now, not only does worry exact a significant emotional toll, it also affects our physical health negatively. And a litany of scientific studies confirm this. Dr. Charles Mayo of the Mayo Clinic fame said this, worry often affects the circulation, the heart, the glands, the whole nervous system. I have never met a man or known a man to die of overwork, but I have known a lot who died of worry. Worry can actually kill you. In the ancient Greek language, the word worry meant to be pulled apart in an unhealthy way over something, like torn apart. Right? And our English word worry originally came from an old German word, würgen, which means to strangle or to choke. Worry accomplishes nothing other than it chokes the life out of today. Corrie ten Boom had it right when she said, "Worry does not empty tomorrow of its sorrow, it empties today of its strength." Folks, Jesus is addressing this because this is not the good life under God's rule and under God's provision that Jesus has in mind for us. Worry actually stands in opposition to the kind of life God wants us to live under his care. And that's the next point that Jesus makes in helping us win out over worry. He says, you need to understand, friends, that God cares for you. Right, have another look at what Jesus says. He says, look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't you far more valuable to him than they are? And why worry about your clothing? Look at the lilies of the field and how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing, yet Solomon in all his glory was not dressed as beautifully as they are. And if God cares so wonderfully for wildflowers that are here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow, he will certainly care for you. Why do you have so little faith? What Jesus wants you to hear in these words, I mean, it's one of the central truths of the Bible, something God wants you to know and experience at the deepest of levels. What Jesus wants you to hear is this. You matter to him. You matter to him. Now, based on some of our life experiences or a reticence to learn the truth about God and come to grips with who he really is, we often have an inaccurate view of God. One common misconception of God is that he is some distant, uninvolved deity who's entirely removed from your life. Another misconception is that he is a harsh, unfeeling being who simply doesn't care about what happens to you. And here we see Jesus blow these misconceptions out of the water as he tells us that God values us. God is interested in you. You matter to him, which means that what you're experiencing in your life right now, the stuff that you're going through, the stuff that you are actually worried about, the stuff that is breaking your heart, it matters to him. He cares about what is happening in your life. And whatever it is that is causing you anxiety, whatever worries are weighing you down, he knows about them and he sees what it's doing to you. And he cares. You matter to him. I mean, picture the scene in your mind's eye. Let's go back to that day where Jesus gave this talk. He's sitting on the hillside that day. There may have been a little plateau where wildflowers were blooming. Birds were flying around. And Jesus says to those listening to him, folks, have a look around. Look at the beauty of creation. See the birds. Take in the flowers. They are all cared for. And if God cares for his creation as marvelously as you see it all around you, don't you think that God will care for you, the ones he's created to live in a relationship with him that is personal and real? Do you think he's the kind to abandon you when you need him the most? Do you think he's the sort to turn his back on you when you are most burdened? Do you think he'll withdraw his love, his care, his concern when you need it the most? You matter to him. Our Heavenly Father will not leave us or forsake us or fail to provide for us because he's a good Father. We sang it this morning. God is good. And this is why Jesus links all this to faith. Look again at verse 30 where he says, "Why do you have so little faith?" And then he adds to that, "So don't worry. Don't worry about these things saying, what will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear?" These things dominate the thoughts of those who don't believe in God. So we might actually want to name worry for what it is. It's functional atheism. I mean, if you're a worrier, you may believe in God on an intellectual or philosophical level, but your worries reveal that you don't really believe in him. You don't trust him. You don't actually believe he's going to come through for you and provide for you. You don't believe in God functionally. I mean, consider it this way. And those of you who are parents or who are involved in the lives of your neighbor's children or your nieces and nephews, you'll get this. I mean, parents, imagine one of your children comes to you and says to you, and they're living in your home, under your roof, in your care, under your provision. You feed them, you clothe them, you do everything for them. And they come to you and they say to you, Mom and Dad, you don't actually care for me. You aren't actually concerned about me. You don't really love me. Particularly when all the evidence indicates otherwise. I mean, how would that make you feel? Imagine God's perspective when you don't believe He loves you and cares for you and is concerned enough to provide for you. And that leads us to the third reason we ought not worry and we should not worry. And that's that we can trust God. Here's how Jesus wrapped up His teaching on worry. He said, "Your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else. Seek His rule in your life above all else. And live righteously. Live in a right relationship with Him. And He will give you everything you need. So don't worry about tomorrow. For tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today." There's a number of things that we need to wrap our hearts around in these words here. Firstly, God knows our needs. He's not in the dark about what we require for life. He knows. We never inform Him of anything. He knows, and He knows our needs. Secondly, we are to seek the kingdom of God above all else. And that simply means to put God first in everything. Put His agenda ahead of yours. And this is where we have trouble in our world today, in our lives today. Put God's agenda ahead of yours. So when it comes to your relationship, your relationships, conduct yourself in a way that puts Him first. When it comes to your marriage, prioritize Him and live into His guidelines for a strong and healthy relationship. When it comes to your work, remember, it's never just a job, and you're there to represent Him, and it's His way of providing for you. When it comes to your finances, put Him first and watch His uncanny economy take hold in your life. When it comes to your schedule, put Him first and walk in His rhythms and watch your stress levels drop and your life fulfillment go up. Put God first. And then Jesus says we're to live righteously. We're to live in a way that pleases God, to live in a way that honors Him, to live in a way that represents Him and reflects Him to our world. I mean, ultimately, that means there is nothing about trusting God to meet our needs that we can be passive about. We just can't sit back. We've got to lean into these things. We're to intentionally put God first in our lives and follow His principles for how it is that He wants us to live. And He wants us to trust Him as our good and loving Father. He wants us to live in dependence upon Him, to trust that He will provide for us as we live for Him and for His purposes in this world. And then Jesus says, and only then will we be given what we need. God will meet our needs. If you know you'll be given what you need, then what's there to worry about? Now let's for a moment, as we wrap up, press into this whole idea of trusting God to give us what we need in life. You may have noticed, if you listen to Jesus' words carefully and closely, that nowhere in the text does Jesus in any way indicate that whatever it is that may be informing your worries will be taken away. Nowhere does it say that that's going to happen. It's not that He can't or won't. It's just that this really isn't the crux of what He's talking about, much less what faith is concerned with. Real faith is not about trusting God when things are going well, when your life is running tickety-boo, when the road ahead is free of any obstructions, when you have all that you need in life. Real faith is trusting God when things aren't going well, when you feel like your life is off of its rails, when you can't see the road ahead clearly, when you don't have all that you need in life. Real faith comes to God and says, "I don't understand what's happening in my life, and I'm afraid. I don't know why things are the way they are right now, and I'm confused. But I know that You're not. You know exactly what's happening and why it's happening. And I trust You that You will make a way in all of this. And I am going to hang on to that. So instead of fretting, I'm going to talk to You about what's going on. Instead of worrying, I'm going to pray. I'm going to give the situation to You. I'm going to trust You for Your provision. I'm going to place myself in Your capable hands. There's no other place I'd rather be. And whatever happens, happens." Right? This is what Scripture tells us to do regardless of what we face in life. And this isn't just a New Testament concern. We're to trust God with what's happening and not worry. This has been the message from the beginning. Take a look at what the Psalm writer says. It says, "Give your worries to the Lord, and He will" what? "He will take care of you." Or this one, 1 Peter writes, "Let God have all your worries and cares." Hear this. "For He is always thinking about you and watching everything that concerns you." I mean, how good is that. God knows we will tend to be concerned, even worry about what's happening in our lives. And this is the big invitation here. Give your worries to Him. And beyond that, it isn't about God eliminating those life circumstances and challenges that might cause us to worry. We all face tough times. They will come. It means that regardless of what does happen in our lives, we don't have to worry because God is in control. That's the sure foundation that allows us to face whatever happens in life. And it means that we can let go of worry because we've turned our life over to God and have placed our trust in Him. We can confidently face what comes because He's in control and we can trust Him. Listen to the second to last verse again. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and He will give you everything you need. So as we orient our lives to God, as our loving, providing Heavenly Father, He promises to give us everything we need. Not everything we want, not everything we desire, not everything we hope for, everything we need. And that doesn't mean that we're immune from bad befalling us. It doesn't mean we won't get sick or that we'll be cured of all illnesses and diseases. It doesn't mean that someday we won't die. And this is true for all the ones we love. They're in the same situation with us. But it does mean that no matter what we go through, not only do we not need to worry, but God will take care of us. He will give us everything we need, the emotional stamina we need, the strength we need, the relational resources we need. The Message paraphrase of the last couple of verses of this passage we've looked at this morning, so powerful. Listen to these words. Steep your life in God reality, God initiative, God provisions. And don't worry about missing out. You'll find all your everyday human concerns will be met. Give your entire attention to what God is doing right now. And don't get worked up about what may or may not happen tomorrow. God will help you deal with whatever hard things come up when the time comes. You know, the absolute brutal thing about worry is that it rips you out of the moment. And it's in the moment that you can experience God and experience His presence in your life. If you're not in the moment, you can't experience Him, because when you're worried about something that's coming. Don't miss your moment. Earlier, I quoted Corrie Ten Boom. Some of you may be acquainted with her story. She, along with her family members, her dad Casper, a Dutch watchmaker, and her sister Betsy, helped many Jews escape the Nazi Holocaust during World War II by hiding them in their home. They were caught, and she was arrested and sent to Ravensbrück, a concentration camp. And after the war, having been freed from Ravensbrück, Corrie traveled throughout the world telling her story in the context of a faith in God. For 33 years following her time at Ravensbrück, she never had a permanent home. And when she was 85 years old, some friends provided her with a home in California. It was a luxury she never dreamed she would have. And one day, as a friend was leaving her home, he said, "Corrie, hasn't God been good to give you this beautiful place?" Do you know how she replied? She didn't hesitate a second in responding by saying, "God was good when I was in Ravensbrück too." That was her first thought, that God was good to her then too. Whatever situation you're in, God knows, He's aware, and He cares. So what are you worrying about right now? Why are you worrying about it? Would you like to stop worrying? Do you want to give your worries, your concerns to God? There's a wonderful old story about a man who was beleaguered by worry and unable to sleep. He was exhausted, but so consumed by his concerns and worries that he could never fall asleep. He was up night after night after night. Suddenly, in the middle of the night, he saw someone enter into his bedroom, and instinctively he knew who it was. It was Jesus. And Jesus turned to him and asked why he couldn't sleep. And he admitted that he was worried over what was going on in his life. And he told Jesus about it. And then Jesus said to him, "How about you go to sleep, and I'll sit up the rest of the night for you." And Jesus will sit up the rest of the night for you too. Whatever it is you've been worrying about, you don't have to anymore. It doesn't solve anything. It actually makes things worse. God cares about you more than you will ever know and is keenly aware of what is going on in your journey. Don't live as a functional atheist, believing in God but not really trusting Him. Have faith in Him. Trust Him to tackle your situation. He's got it. Even in the midst of what you're going through, He will give you what you need to get through, no matter what happens. So talk to God about it, and ultimately, it will be all right. It's been said that it's impossible to pray and to worry at the same time. So as we wrap up today, let's take a couple of minutes to pray. I'm going to ask the worship team to come up, and they're going to just be playing as we take time to pray about what it is that's worrying us. Let's give it to God right now. So I'm going to invite you to bow your heads and allow me to lead you in a guided prayer. Just bow your heads. Let's pray. Tell God silently in your heart. Tell him what's worrying you. Remember, you're not informing him. He already knows, but you need to give it to him. Tell him what's worrying you. Tell him that you know that he cares. And tell him that you trust him with your situation. And if you want, in a very powerful symbolic gesture, you can take your hands and put them palms up on your knees and just say, God, I'm giving this to you. I'm placing this in your hands. You've told me to come to you and to give you all my cares, all my worries. Here they are. Tell him you trust him with it. Now ask him to give you whatever it is that you need. Not what you want. Not what you're hoping for. What you need. Now thank him. Thank him that you don't have to worry about it anymore. Father, thank you that because of your provision in our life, we don't have to worry. We know that worry accomplishes nothing. In fact, it only makes things worse. So forgive us for thinking that we can somehow control our situation by worrying about it. Forgive us for wasting our life in this way. We know that you care for us, that you are our good, good Father. We know that that we matter to you and that we can trust you. You know our needs, and so we want to put you first in our life. We want to live in a right relationship with you and live a life that pleases you. And you will meet our needs. Thank you that we don't have to worry, that you are in control. And we pray, Father, that this wouldn't be something that we just that happens this morning, but that we would walk with this truth into our next week. We love you. We appreciate you. And we're looking forward to your provision in our life this week.